Thanks for the introduction, Nathan. Hi everyone, I'm Radhika Mittal and I'm going to present Universal Packet Scheduling, which is joint work with Rachit Agarwal and my advisors Sylvia Ratnasamy and Scott Schenker. So as we all know, scheduling algorithms play a key role in any packet switch network. And so over the years, our community has developed many different algorithms such as first-in, first-out fair, queuing, virtual clock, priority scheduling, etc., etc. With this implicit assumption that we need these many different algorithms to meet many different goals in many different contexts. And all of these scheduling algorithms are implemented in the router hardware. So how do we support these different scheduling algorithms that are needed for different and changing requirements? One option is to go and change all of your router hardware as our requirements change and we need a new algorithm. And one can imagine how difficult that would be given the scale of the networks. Another option is to implement all of the scheduling algorithms in the router hardware. And this can be very expensive. And again, what if we need a new algorithm for a new requirement? We would again need to go and change our router hardware. A third option is to do programmable scheduling as advocated in a recent proposal developed in parallel to ours. But this requires a form of programmable scheduling hardware in every router that does not exist yet. And the underlying assumption behind all of this is that we need different scheduling algorithms for different requirements, which leads us to ask this question. With our work, we instead ask a different question. Do we really need different scheduling algorithms for different requirements? Or can we instead have a universal packet scheduling algorithm, or what we call a UPS? Whereby a UPS, we mean a single scheduling algorithm that runs uniformly in all of the routers, and it can imitate the network-wide output produced by any other algorithm running in those routers, thus giving us a stable network infrastructure. So the first question that might occur to you is, how can a single algorithm possibly imitate all others, and that too at a network-wide level? So to understand that, let us look at the network model, where we have some input traffic coming in at the network ingress, which traverses the core of the network, where the routers are running some scheduling algorithm, many of which may rely on some header initialization that can be done at the ingress. And the resulting output is then seen at the network egress. Now, according to the conventional mindset, the output traffic characteristics are tied to the scheduling algorithm that is running in my routers. In the sense that for different desired output traffic characteristics, we would go and run different scheduling algorithms in the router. For example, if my goal is to minimize the mean flow completion time, I would emulate something like shortest job first, for which I would run priority scheduling in the routers with the headers of the packet carrying the priority value depicting the flow size. Similarly, if my goal is fairness, I would go and run fair queuing in the routers, and for this we do not need any specific header initialization. But if my goal is weighted fairness, I would go and run weighted fair queuing in the routers with the headers now carrying the flow weights. And we can come up with multiple such examples. However, in a quest for universality, we envision tying the output traffic characteristics solely to the header initialization, which is done at the ingress, with the core running a scheduling algorithm that is completely agnostic of the desired output, and it simply makes uniform scheduling decision using the packet header state. So you can think of this header initialization as passing different parameter values to a fixed function to get different desired outputs. So the question that we ask now is, can we have a UPS in the core? And can it actually just rely only on header initialization to get any desired outputs? So with this understanding of our model, let us dive into how we can formally define and evaluate a UPS. We define a UPS using two viewpoints. The first one is a theoretical viewpoint that I had informally mentioned about earlier. And here we call a scheduling algorithm universal if it can replay any given schedule. I'll soon formalize what I mean by replay and a schedule here. And this theoretical viewpoint provides us with a very clean definition of universality. It allows us to understand which algorithms are flexible enough to be universal, what are the limitations of universality, and so on. But as we'll see later, while this viewpoint is theoretically useful, it is not applicable in practice. So our second definition of universality is from a practical viewpoint, where a UPS is simply defined as a scheduling algorithm that can achieve different network-wide objectives. So I'll start with elaborating more on the theoretical viewpoint. So for this, again, consider a network model where we have some topology, some input load in terms of the packet arrival times at the ingress, and we have some arbitrary set of scheduling algorithms running in the core routers, many of which may use some header initialization at the ingress. They then produce a set of output times at the egress that we denote as OP for a packet P. This set of output times is what we call a schedule, and the set OP gives us the original schedule. So I would like to point out here that we allow a very broad view of scheduling algorithms when creating this original schedule. So for example, we can have two different routers running two different scheduling algorithms. They may rely on arbitrary state, or they may even consult an oracle to have omniscient knowledge. The only requirement that we have from this original schedule is that the corresponding output times must be viable, in the sense that there must be some way to schedule the incoming packets in the routers such that we get these output times. We then try to replay this original schedule, which is given to us in the form of the output times OP, using the same topology and the same input load. And we also assume that every packet follows the same path in the replay as in the original schedule. But we now run our candidate UPS in the core router, and we initialize the header for every packet at the ingress using the output times from the original schedule. And this gives us a new set of output times at the egress that we denote as O prime P for a packet P. We say that the replay is successful if for every packet P, O prime P is less than or equal to OP. However, we add some pragmatic constraints on what the header initialization process and the UPS can use. The first constraint is that when initializing the header for a packet P, the ingress can only use the output time and the path information for that packet P, and it should remain completely oblivious to the rest of the packets coming in the network. And the second constraint is that in making its scheduling decision, the UPS can only use the packet header state and some static information pertaining to the network topology, such as the link bandwidths. By enabling these constraints, we ensure that the key source of impracticality that remains in our theoretical model is the knowledge of these output times OP, and we get rid of this impracticality with a practical viewpoint that I'll be discussing later. We term this constraint model as black box initialization. So with this understanding of our model, let us look at some of our basic results. We can show that we can always have a UPS under an omniscient initialization model, where we allow the header initialization at the ingress to use extensive knowledge about at what time each packet was scheduled at every hop in the original schedule. And this is not a very surprising result, because having such extensive knowledge is equivalent to knowing the entire original scheduling algorithm. But interestingly, we can also produce a counterexample that shows that we can never have a perfect replay under the black box initialization model I'd mentioned before, where only the final output times at the egress are used to initialize the packet headers. So with these two extreme results, we then try to explore how close we can get to a UPS under the black box initialization model. Through our theoretical analysis, we find that the difficulty of replay depends on the number of congestion points that a packet sees in its path in the network, where a congestion point is defined as a router where a packet can wait. We can show that while there exists a scheduling algorithm that can replay all schedules with up to two congestion points per packet, we can prove that no scheduling algorithm can replay all schedules that have three congestion points per packet or more. So this gives us an upper bound in terms of the number of congestion points that a scheduling algorithm can handle. So the next question is, can we achieve this upper bound? And the answer is yes. The classical least slack time first algorithm, or LSTF, can indeed achieve this upper bound. So what is LSTF? In LSTF, we initialize the header of every packet with a slack value that depicts the maximum possible queuing delay that the packet is willing to tolerate in the network. So for the purpose of replay, this slack value is initialized as the queuing delay that the packet saw in the original schedule. Then, as the name suggests, the router schedules the packet with the least slack time first, and it additionally updates the slack of every packet that it is scheduling by subtracting the duration of time for which the packet waits at the router. We can prove that LSTF can replay all schedules with up to two congestion points per packet, and like any other algorithm, it can fail to replay schedules that have three or more congestion points. And it's not that all algorithms are capable of achieving this upper bound. For example, simple priority scheduling, where the priority is assigned once at the ingress and it remains the same throughout, can only replay schedules with one congestion point per packet and can fail for two or more. So these theoretical results establish that LSTF is as close to universality as any algorithm can get with respect to handling the congestion points, but they do not give any concrete measure of this closeness to universality. So we do some empirical experiments to study how close LSTF is to being universal. So for this, we run some LSTF replay experiments using NS2. And we observe that for most cases, less than 3% packets miss their target output times in the replay. And more importantly, for most cases, less than 0.1% packets miss their targets by more than one transmission time. So this means that of the packets that do end up getting late, most of them are late by insignificant amounts. So these results show that though LSTF is not perfectly universal in the most theoretical sense, it is indeed very, very close to universality under realistic conditions where we may have three or more congestion points. So to summarize the theoretical viewpoint, we evaluate a candidate UPS by its ability to replay a schedule given in form of the final output times OP. Through our theoretical analysis, we show that while we can never have a UPS, the classical least slack time first algorithm comes as close to being universal as any algorithm can get. And our empirical results show that under realistic conditions, LSTF is almost universal with respect to its replay performance. Now, as I mentioned before, our theoretical viewpoint is not practical because it requires us to know these output times from an original schedule. And also, we don't care about replaying schedules in practice. What we care about is achieving different network-wide objectives. So let us now look at how LSTF can be used in practice to achieve different network-wide objectives. The key difference between the two viewpoints lies in how we assign the slack. Rather than using the knowledge of the output times to assign the slack, we now look at the network-wide objective that we want to achieve, and we come up with certain heuristics to assign the slack to achieve that objective. For evaluation, we compare the results obtained using LSTF to those obtained using the state-of-the-art scheme known for optimizing that objective. And we look at three popular objective functions for this purpose: minimizing tail packet delays, minimizing mean flow completion time, and fairness. So I'll now provide you with a very high-level summary of how we assign the slack for meeting these objective functions and what our results look like, but you can find detailed results with the graphs in the paper. So to minimize tail packet delays, we can simply assign the same slack to all of the packets. And this makes LSTF identical to a scheme called FIFO+, which is a state-of-the-art for minimizing tail packet delays in multi-hop networks. And as a result, we get performance that is much better than FIFO across different scenarios. For minimizing the mean flow completion time, our slack assignment heuristic tries to emulate shortest job first, where the slack assigned to a packet is proportional to the size of the flow to which a packet belongs. And as our comparison points, we use both shortest job first and SRPT as implemented in PFabric, and LSTF performs comparable to both. For fairness, our slack assignment is inspired from virtual clocks, and here the first packet of the flow is assigned a slack of 0, and the slack of every subsequent packet is updated based on some estimate of the fair share rate and the inter-arrival time between the packets. We compare this slack assignment scheme with fair queuing, and our results show that we can always get eventual convergence to fairness for long-lived flows, no matter what estimate of fair share rate we are using, as long as our estimate is less than or equal to the actual fair share rate. And even for short-lived flows, using some reasonable fair share rate estimate, we get flow completion times that are roughly comparable to fair queuing. Yeah. Okay. Now, apart from scheduling, another functionality that is provided by the routers is active queue management, where they may drop or mark certain packets to proactively send congestion signals to the end host. Now, LSTF is only a scheduling algorithm, and it cannot do active queue management on its own. So at a first glance, it would seem that we would now need to come up with a universal AQM scheme to be implemented along with LSTF to satisfy our goal for a stable network infrastructure. But instead, we can show that LSTF can facilitate active queue management from the edge of the network. And this observation is based on two insights. The first one is that as long as appropriate packets are chosen, it does not matter where they are being dropped or marked, whether it's in the core routers, at the edge, or at the end hosts. And the second insight is that the used slack value that can be obtained as a byproduct of LSTF gives us the precise measure of the one-way queuing delay that a packet sees in its path in the network. And this used slack value can therefore be used to emulate the different AQM schemes from the edge of the network. So we evaluated this in the context of both fair queuing CODEL, which is a state-of-the-art AQM scheme for wide area networks, and in the context of DC-TCP with ECNMARX, which is a state-of-the-art for data center networks. And the performance of LSTF with our edge-based AQM approach is comparable to both. So to summarize, we discussed universality of packet scheduling using two viewpoints, theoretical and practical. Our theoretical results show that while there is no UPS under the pragmatic black box initialization model, the classical least slack time first algorithm comes as close to being one as any other algorithm can get. And we then showed empirically that LSTF is almost universal with respect to its replay performance. From a more practical perspective, we showed how LSTF can be used in practice to achieve a variety of network-wide objectives, including those incorporating AQM. Our work therefore implies that we might not need many different or even new scheduling and queue management algorithms, and we can instead just use LSTF with varying initializations. But there are still a bunch of open questions left, both theoretical and practical. We showed that we can always achieve universality with the omniscient initialization model, and that we can never achieve universality under the black box initialization model. So what is the least amount of information that is needed to achieve universality? Second question is, can we find any tractable or probabilistic bounds on the degree of lateness with LSTF when there are three or more congestion points? From a more practical perspective, how do we achieve multiple objectives simultaneously? We have some preliminary understanding of how we can go about doing so, but it requires further exploration. Which brings us to our final open question. Can we formally define the scope of using LSTF in practice? So with this, I would like to conclude with the summary slide. Our NS2 simulation code is publicly available. And thank you, and I'm happy to take questions.
Omid from USC. Hi, great talk. So I was wondering, how does your work relate to the programmable packet scheduling? Can you explain?
For those who don't know, I briefly mentioned another recent work on programmable packet scheduling. So what programmable packet scheduling says is that you can have this single hardware primitive in form of push-in first-out queues, which is essentially doing fine-grained priorities. And then you can sort of express different algorithms on these PIFO queues. So to express these different algorithms, you essentially need to compute the priority value for every packet at every router. And so this computation needs to be programmable. So you need programmability at every router. And this computation can be fairly complicated because it may require some complicated operations like divisions and all. And it may need to store a per flow state, and such programmability as yet is not available in the routers. And what our work is saying, that you may not need that level of programmability in every router, and you can instead just sort of do varying initializations at the edge routers.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but you still need to do computation for your slack value.
That's only at the edge, not at every router. So yeah, the computation we need for the slack value is to be done at every router, but it's a fixed algorithm. You don't need programmability for doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one question, which is, so you're talking about multiple objectives and multiple algorithms that can be programmed at the edge.
Yeah.
Have you looked at what happens when different parts of the edge are trying to achieve different objectives? Is it such that both of them can achieve it, or neither of them? Or?
Yeah. So if I have supposing I have different classes of traffic, each of which wants different objectives. So if supposing I'm separating those classes of objective using some higher level objective like prioritization, I want all of my VoIP traffic to go at highest priority followed by all of my Netflix traffic, and then. I have different objectives for both. I can use LSTF for each of those objectives, different performance objective, and I can use LSTF to separate these two classes using priorities. But yeah, if the classes are separated using some fairness, some isolation notion, then such class-based fairness cannot be provided by LSTF, and we provide more details in the paper for that.
Thanks.